Hi, Gino. How are you?
Hi, Michael. I'm doing great. How are yourself?
Very well.
Well, I got done watching Banksters, which is coming out this week, and wanted to talk to you about the movie. Glad you could take the time to share with us.
Absolutely.
Well, now, you play Neil on Banksters, and so can you tell me, how did you find your way to this project?
Pretty typical way. My agent sent me the script and said they'd like you to do this, and would you be interested? They originally talked to me about Isaac, and I read it, and I kind of felt like I'd prefer to play Neil, which luckily they were open to. So I met with the Rob Boudreau, who produced it, and we had a great conversation. I said, "Well, this seems like a really good fit," and so then we decided, let's make a movie.
Now, you said when you auditioned, you were actually more interested in the Isaac character. Can you tell me what it was that that first attracted you to that character, and why you decided that Neil would be okay?
They first asked me to play Isaac, and I kind of said to them, "What do you think of me doing Neil?" It was just Isaac maybe felt a little closer to my character on Life with Derek.
Sure.
And also, I liked the sort of growth that Neil had to go through, that he was a wallflower and he's a bit more shy, and he sort of has to rise to the occasion and pull people together to see everything through.
Absolutely, and it seems that Neil is almost the straight man to the Isaac character. He's kind of the more goofed out character, whereas you're kind of the more serious straight man character. Was that harder to pull off?
No, I mean, I had definitely played roles like that before, and I felt comfortable in that. And honestly, I was like, well, that's probably easier than having to rap. That's definitely something I would have to really work on. Which Joe does such a good job when he has to do that finance rap. It's awesome.
Yeah. Now, you and Joe, you had a lot of screen time together, obviously a lot of chemistry between the two of you. How did the two of you go about creating some of that wonderful chemistry?
It was, like, crazy easy. We had worked together years ago on the last season of Life with Derek, and we didn't really get to know each other that well, and then we found out we were both going to be on this movie and just kind of showed up on the day. And we were just, like, fast friends, and kind of bonded over that, you know, we were up in this small town and living in this little hotel that had this tiny little restaurant. We were like, let's just go here every night and drink beer. And we had so much fun hanging out. And there's a lot of, you know, downtime on set and stuff. So he and I would just, like, goof around the whole time. And it was pretty quick, just like, oh, wait, we are best friends. Let's make that real life.
Yeah, and, you know, that kind of activity really does make it more natural on the screen, and it comes across, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important when you're working with people who you're not afraid to fall in front of. It makes it so much easier to try stuff.
Right.
That if it doesn't work, there's no judgment.
Yeah.
And we spent all day making jokes and giving each other crap that it became really easy on set to play that way.
Now the film kind of is centered in the whole, financial crisis, which is quite topical, and of course student loan issues. But it's really a buddy film, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely a buddy film. I think what's kind of really amazing about the film is that it does tackle some really big social and political issues going on, but it never weighs it down. And they, you know, I think they explain all that in the simplest form, so you can stick to the story, which is a buddy comedy. And I was always kind of impressed with the ability to, like, talk about finance.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Did you have to do any special preparation to get into some of that techno babble you had to do?
It was pretty simple. I mean, I spent some time reading up on what was going on with student loans and all that sort of stuff. And they keep the financial stuff pretty basic. I remember when I first met with the producer and director, I did say, I'm like, so here... the finance stuff that is a bit wordy. That's for me, I'll say it, but I don't know if people understand it.
Right.
And so it was figuring out the easiest way to convey that stuff with the audience without it weighing down any of the scenes.
Well, and the director, Jeff Stevenson, he hasn't really done a lot of features yet, so he's a relatively new director. Did you find that easier or harder to work with a director who is kind of starting out?
he's great. I think he had done one feature before.
Right.
And, you know, he was very collaborative, and he, Joe, and I met just before started filming to talk about, you know, what kind of environment we wanted on set and how we wanted to work, which was to, you know, get what's up scripted in the can and then let's play, which, you know, a lot of ended up on camera, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a tight shoot, like as every shoot, time is money and stuff, so you can't spend forever
right
on things, but we were able to create a situation where we could still play and try different things, and so it was a really great collaborative effort on many people's parts.
You know, and when you do have a limited budget film with limited time and such, sometimes things don't happen that you really end up missing. Was there a moment or something for your character that didn't end up getting to happen or somehow got cut that you were kind of bummed about?
Not that I can recall, no, actually. The one moment that I didn't think I'd be able to do, and then they told me you have two takes to do this because it was like, I think our very last... Actually, it might have been the very last scene of the movie.
Okay.
We were so tight on time and, like, stuff had to get wrapped up because we were leaving that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the two of us getting ready to go back and bring them down. And we're getting out of our overall outfits and getting redressed. And I wear a bow tie in every single scene. And there was a wardrobe
right.
girl who did my bow ties every day. And the day, I think earlier that day, I was like, I feel like I can do this. Just because I'd seen Feltor doing it so many times. Like, I was like, did I do it? She's like, you did.
Yeah.
So I went, I was like, guys, I want to live tie this bow tie. Can I, in the scene, because it's only like four lines in the scene, it's super fast. I was like, can I just tie it? And they're like, if you can do it in two takes, but like, tie a bow tie is really hard to do properly. And so I did it, and I was so happy. I basically did a victory lap. I was so excited. I think everyone else was like, it's a bow tie. Good
yeah.
job.
And I was gonna,
you know, it was a personal victory for myself.
Well, and I was going to ask you, I was going to ask you not to quote the film or anything, but what's with the bow ties? I mean, that was an interesting choice for the character. I know that it goes back to, like, his grandfather and helps set a bit of foundation for the character. Did it help you get into the character?
I mean, I love a good bow tie. I liked it as a defining feature. I think I've always found wardrobe really important as a way to define a character, because
sure.
I think it does that for people in real life. And I thought it's great because it shows that just because he's quiet doesn't mean he's not interesting. He's definitely, you know, got his own ideas in his own brain. And I like the sentimentality of them being his grandfather's motorcycle.
Sure. It really adds some depth to the character, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you were attracted to Neil, and I assume that another nice reason for being attracted to Neil is you get to have as a love interest Supergirl from Smallville.
Exactly.
Laura Vandergroot. That's got to be a nice little thing to work with there.
Laura's amazing. She's incredibly smart and talented, and
yeah.
her and I have the same manager we have for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both incredibly close with him, so we kind of joke that we're like brother and sister because he's like our dad. But so that makes it a bit weird when you have to kiss her.
Right.
You're like, oh wait, this is awesome. So I will say, when I was filming that scene,
yeah.
my girlfriend at the time was coming to visit set that day. She was driving up from Toronto,
uh-huh.
and I knew that where she was coming from, and I was like, she is going to walk in, and basically where we filmed that scene is like right by where you enter the building from the parking lot.
Sure.
I was like, oh, God damn it, at any moment, I'm going to be kissing her, and she's going to walk in. We got that shot, and she walked in like 15 seconds later. The timing was very good, because that's not what you want. You don't want your girl from walking in on you kissing another girl and saying, babe, it's work.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that, but I assume that when you date an actor, you got to get used to that sort of thing.
You do, but the heart makes its own choices, you know? Nobody likes watching that.
Well, now, was that something that you required quite a few takes to get right?
Oh, no, we got it pretty quick because we were good at it.
Yeah. So how many days did it take to film this thing? Obviously, did it on a quick schedule.
How many takes in general?
No, how many days? And how many days? You did this movie rather quickly, obviously. How many days did it take to shoot it?
I think it was 20.
20 days?
Yeah, I remember because I worked 3 weeks without a day off because I was shooting Bomb Girls at the same time. So we did a weekend schedule. We would shoot on weekends and have Monday, Tuesday off on Banks's, so I could go and do Monday, Tuesdays in Toronto, and then drive the 4 hours back up north. It was very intense, but it was also a lot of fun. I don't need a lot of sleep.
Well, yeah, obviously, and that was the next. You're doing good at segueing for me here, guy. And the other thing was, when you're doing more than one project at a time, what do you do to kind of get back to the character that you're doing, to make sure that you're, you know, that your mindset into the character when you're going back and forth so often for that time period?
I mean, they'll never let me on inside the actor's studio for this, but you just kind of flip. I find, you know, when you get far enough into a character, like Bombros, I've been doing for a couple months, and I felt comfortable on that. And you have your time between shots, and even you got to drive 4 hours from one show to the other. It gives you time to switch gears, but
sure.
I'm not somebody who's like, I need 3 weeks to really like find my body of a role or anything.
Well, and you must have really been passionate about doing it if you were willing to put yourself through that kind of extra work to do it.
Oh yeah, I've done that before. I like being on set. I think being on set's more fun than anything else. And so who needs days off if you can continue to just like shoot stuff and have a great time?
So what's coming up next for you?
Well, we are talking to distributors now on my first feature film that I directed and wrote with my producing partner Paula Brancati. She's one of the stars in it. It has Katie Boland and Noah Reed and Chloe Rose. It has a really awesome cast. Called People Hold On, and then we're developing our next film that looks like it'll shoot this summer, and working on a few different projects. So I've been doing a bunch of directing and writing and producing these days.
So basically, not only didn't you get much sleep in this project, you're not planning on getting any further foreseeable future.
No, thank you. I actually came up with a really great theory the other night.
Yeah.
Well, it was just like an epiphany moment where I was like, wait a second, if you sleep 1 hour less a day.
Mm-hmm.
You get 14 more days in your year. That's what it adds up to, 14 more days.
Yeah.
And then over the span of your lifetime, that's like 4 years. Think about all the stuff you can do with that extra time.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
So I've been trying it for about 5 days now, and it's working out so far. We'll see how long until I forget about it.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to thank you for taking some of that precious time and sharing it with us and our readers at an upcoming disc. And I want to wish you the best luck. It looks like you had a ton of fun on Banksta's. We're going to be reviewing it and also giving some copies away here at our site, so we're going to help you push it a little bit. And I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. You have a great day.